Today's daf is Samach Vav. We're starting at Samach Hay at the bottom. I just want to review the last part of what I did on Friday because I made a mistake in explaining something. So I want to go back to Tanu Rabbanan on the second wide line. Okay, if there's a woman who's bleeding, remember we're up to a woman who's got dam betulim, and she's now continually bleeding within the 4 nights and even after the 4 nights, or mitoch halayla lachar halayla, depending on which woman and how many nights she gets. But within that time or after that time, she continually bleeds. Kulan tzrichot livdok et atzman. Okay, she needs to check herself to try to figure out, is the blood that she's seeing, does it look like dam betulim or does it look like dam nida? Okay, and they can't just assume that because it was all one continuum that it's dam betulim. That's the rabbis. Ubekulan, and then in all these women, okay, whether they're, again, I didn't explain this in the first line, vekulan, right, whether she saw blood or didn't yet see blood, okay, but all these women, Rabbi Meir Machmir Kedivrei Beit Shammai, he gives her, okay, in all those cases, so it says here, Rabbi Meir Machmir Kedibrei Beit Shammai. In all of these cases, if she continually bleeds, Rabbi Meir says we're going to go by Beit Shammai. That is soon, we're going to have to check her at an earlier time, basically. As soon as she's past the time that Beit Shammai says, which is an earlier time, again, depending on which stage she's at, what Beit Shammai says, she'll have to check already then, is it Dam, right? Does it look like Dam Betulim or does it look like Dam Nida? And if it's not a continuous stream of blood, but she stops bleeding and then she sees again, and it's in between the time that Beit Shammai said and Beit Hillel says, so again, Rabbi Meir says, we have to check the blood and decide whether it looks like Dam Betulim or Dam Nida. And Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mar Edamim Meshunim Hem Ze Mizeh. Because he said they really do look different. Okay, and this is what I did explain this part, right? Which is that Dam Nida is Adom, and Dam Betulim is lighter red, and Dam Nida is Mizuham. It's a little more, you know, it's a little, I would even think like contaminated or cloudy. And Dam Betulim is not, and Dam Nida comes from the, right, because the reason why they're different is because one comes from the uterus and one comes from the side, and then again we saw that Chachamim say no, all in fact look the same, even though it's a little bit strange because they say they all look the same. However, they did say earlier in the Braita that they do need to check the blood, so there's a little bit of a problem here, but it sounds like what he's saying is that in this kind of situation, we're not going to go by what the blood looks like because we can always just assume that it's Dam Betulim because we follow Beit Hillel all the way. So remember, we're talking about the days that are in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as opposed to the first case, which was the bleeding went beyond the designated days that even Beit Hillel said. So again, Chachamim would distinguish between the days that were within, you know, were outside of already what Beit Hillel said, and the days that were in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. There's no need for bedika because we can just assume always that it's Dam Betulim and we don't need to check. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're starting a new topic, which is someone who sees blood every time she has sex with her husband, which we assume means that having sexual relations with her husband brings on her period. This creates a huge problem. This is, we're assuming she's beyond her virginity blood, her tearing her hymen blood. And now, if every time she sees blood, she gets 3 chances. If it happened 3 times already, the only choice she has is to get divorced and go marry somebody else, because if every time she sleeps with this person, she brings on her period, she's not going to be allowed to sleep with him, in which case, she can't stay married to him, because you can't stay married to someone who you can't have sexual relations with. So let's say this woman now gets married with somebody else, and again she sees Dam Achmat Tashmish. So again, Mishamesh Apam Rishona Ushniya Ushlishit, Mikam Ba'elach Lo Tishamesh Ad Shetitgaresh V'Tenaseh La'Acher. So the same thing happens. She can marry someone else, but if after 3 times she has to get divorced from him also. But she still gets to marry another person. Niseit la'acher, if she marries this third person, V'ra'ata Adam Achmat Tashmish, Mishamesh Apam Rishona Ushniya Ushlishit, Mikam Ba'elach Lo Tishamesh Ad Shetivdok Atzma. But then, after that, now, this has a bit of a different ending, because now she's already proven that 3 times with each three husbands, that's a chazaka that anyone she marries, she's going to have an issue with. But instead of saying, you can't marry anybody, they say, well, now she should do a particular bedikah, which we're going to explain in a minute what it is. She should examine herself and see where the blood is coming from. We're going to ask later, why didn't she do that with the first husband before she got divorced from him? So she takes a tube, and in the tube, we're going to assume the tube is made of wood, which we'll get to in a minute, but that seems problematic, but we'll get back to that later. And in it has like a little stick, and at the edge of the stick is a cotton ball type thing. Sounds a little like a tampon, right? And what does she do? So there's a moch munach al rosho, that at the tip of it, on the tip of the stick. Im nimtza dam al rosh hamoch, so she inserts it inside her body, right? She puts in the tube, puts the moch in through the tube, and if she finds dam at the tip of the moch, then, right, that's the cotton. Biyadua shemina makor huba. Okay, then she knows that's coming from the uterus and it's problematic. Lo nimtza dam, and then she's in stuck. Lo nimtza dam al rosho, but if it wasn't at the tip, biyadua shemina tzedim huba, then we know it's coming from the sides. But if she does have some sort of wound, maybe she's got a cut there, then we can depend it on that. And if somehow, it's not that every single time she has sex with him, but there's a pattern to when she sees from having sex, let's say every 3 weeks she sees when she has sex, so then we could say, fine, so every 3 weeks she can, but in the in-between times she can, and then she could stay married to him. We just said, this really belongs a sentence previously, which is, we said, if there's a makah, then we can assume it's that. But if the bloods were different, in other words, the way her nida blood looked and the dam of a makah looked different, and this looked more like nida blood, then ein atola, then she can't assume it came from a makah. And she's trusted to say, we believe her. This is interesting, right? In terms of, this is the men, we're relying on the women to tell them these things. She's believed to say, I have a makah in my uterus, I have a wound there, and the blood is coming from there, divrei Rebbe. Ashpa gomer, dam makah, okay, this is another halacha, he's not arguing with Rebbe, but Ashpa gomer, dam makah habamana makor tameh. He's actually disagreeing, because disagreeing in a different kind of way. It's not that she's not trusted, she is trusted. However, if it's dam makah, depends where it's coming from. If it comes from the vaginal area, then it's fine. But if it comes from a uterus, it's tameh. We'll see in a minute why. Rabotenu hi'idu, but the rabbis testified that al dam makah habamina makor shu tahor. He said, no. The rabbi said, dam blood that comes from the uterus is totally not a problem. My benayu, what's the difference between them? Amar ula makor makomo tamei ka benayu. It's about the place of the uterus. Is that in and of itself tamei? Because if it is, then when blood comes out of the uterus and touches the uterus on its way out, it becomes tamei just by the virtue of touching the uterus. So if you say makor makomo tamei, that's Rav Shimon Gamliel, you're going to say it's a problem. If you say makor makomo tahor, that the uterus itself is not tamei, then the blood passing by, since it's coming from a wound, it's not a problem. That's Ika Benayu. That's the difference, the halacha between them. Okay, now we're going back to the shfoferet. This tube she puts in, if it's made of wood, if gure mafkarala, it's actually going to cut her skin. Why would you do that? Then you're going to have more blood. Amar Shmuel, forget about the fact that it's cutting her. We don't want to do that. Amar Shmuel, but shfoferet shel avar, it's a lead tube, upia ratzuf litochana, and the edges are folded in to make it softer there, and it actually doesn't injure her at all. Why didn't she check the third time after she had sex with her first husband to avoid her getting divorced? So Amar Lei, Lepisha Ein Kol Etzbaot Shavot. If we had checked her then, okay, what does it mean, Ein Kol Etzbaot Shavot? Not every man's penis is the same. So the fact that one causes her to bleed doesn't mean another one would. Now, what does it have to do with anything? Still, we want to keep her married to the first husband. So why didn't we check it? If it came from the side, it would have been okay. So it seems the problem is if we establish with this check that it was coming from the uterus, then we might say, oh, look, you created a chazaka, and now it's proven that the woman's got uterine bleeding. And then she's not going to be allowed to marry anyone else. But as long as we haven't proven anything by any bedika, any check, we can still go with saying, well, maybe that one wasn't a problem anyway, and maybe, right, and keep open all our possibilities. We'd rather not do a check until we have to. that you can clearly see that they definitely didn't want to do a bedikah until they were absolutely stuck and this woman had nowhere else to go. Amarle, v'tibdok atzma b'biyah rishona shabal shlishi. Once she had two men three times, and then the third man once, we already now have a chazaka for two men three times, and then we have a chazaka of three people she sees blood with. So that should be enough, and we shouldn't wait till the third, where we shouldn't, theoretically, we shouldn't allow her to sleep with him because it's already proven she's got a chazaka with three men now. If we say, lo kol etzvaot shavot, well, now we tried the third man, and his is the same in causing her to bleed, which means that it's her problem, and how can we even let them have sex with each other? So what are the answer? Lefik ein kol ha-kochot shavot. Every time you have sex, it's not exactly the same. So maybe he went in more, or, you know, and that caused her to bleed, but maybe another time he'll go in with less koch, and that will now cause her to bleed. Now we're going to see a few situations. A woman came before Rebbe with this exact problem. Amar le la'avda, and he said to his student, Zil ba'ata, go scare her. Aza ba'ata, he scared her. V'nafami menach hararatam, a big clunk of blood came out of her body, a big chunk of blood came out. Amar Rebbe, nitrapa azot. Rebbe said, oh, look, now she's cured. That was obviously what was causing all the bleeding. Hahi itita, another woman. Da'ata doesn't have such a happy ending, this one. Da'ata lekameh demar Shmuel, amar le Rav Dimi bar Yosef, zil ba'ata. He says the same thing, right? This is, the first case was Rav, this case was Shmuel. He says to Rav Dimi bar Yosef, go scare her. Azal ba'ata velo nafal mimena velo midi. Nothing fell out of her body. Amar Shmuel, zomim mal'ek v'nofetzet. This is a woman, v'nofetzet he. This is a woman who's full of blood in her body, and it's kind of exploding. V'cholim emalau nofetzet, ein la takana. There's nothing we can do for her. Hayida atay l'kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, another woman, but this was a little bit different. She had another problem. T'kol emata havasalka mitfilat mitzvah, havakachaz yadama. Every time she got out of the mikvah, on the way back into the city, she would start bleeding again. Amarle, shema dimat irech al tabech. Maybe it's now it's not so clear what this is. Maybe it's the gossip of your city that's going into you, meaning people are saying, oh, look, she's got such a beautiful relationship with her husband. It's causing an ayin hara. And therefore, so because of that, he says to her, lechi vihibali lo al gava nahal. What happened? Every time she came into the city, they'd see her coming out of the mikvah, and they'd say, oh, she's going to be with her husband. They have such a special relationship. The ayin hara would come and cause her to bleed. So he says, go have sex next to the nahar so that you won't have this issue, that you'll come into the city and people will say things about you and bring on the ayin hara. Okay, it's interesting that he's telling her, go out in the open and have sex with your husband near the nahar. I assume they meant like in some hidden place. Another possibility is not that it was the gossip of the town, but that it was the, as she went into the town, it gave her time that she was thinking about her husband and getting excited about being with him, and that caused her to bleed. Okay, like dam chimud that we've talked about before, and we're going to see later today. So maybe that's the case, and therefore he says, go have sex with him right near the nahar, because you're going to be busy dealing with your tefillah. You're not going to be thinking about the chimud and how excited you are to be with her husband, and therefore you won't bleed. Ika de Amar, some people say, Amarla, that what he said to her was no. Instead of saying that, he said to her something else. Tigalila chavirotayach, yechid titavi alach lahach gisa, nitavu alach lahach gisa. Go tell your friends, okay, now, according to some interpretations, this means go tell your friends, according to the first interpretation, that things aren't so great. Like, this is classic, right? Everybody always thinks the grass is always greener on the other side. How many times do you think, oh, they look like they have such a beautiful relationship, right? And then you find out later that they got divorced. Or, you know, people always look at other people and say, oh, they have it so perfect. And really, nobody's life is perfect, and everybody's got issues. And, you know, why don't you tell them your issues, and then they'll... Right, so now they're looking at you like this, they'll look at you otherwise, and that won't bring the ayin hara. If it's the second interpretation, you have to say that it's actually don't lo tigali l'chaverotayich. Now the assumption is that she was talking with her friends on the way home from the mikvah and getting excited about being with her husband. So don't talk to your friends so that you don't, right, so that they don't get you excited and you have this dam chimud. V'kada'amar, go tell your friends about your problem, and then they'll pray for you. Okay, this is the Mitzorah. It says you're supposed to call out, he's Tameh, so that people will hear about his pain, and they will pray for him. So likewise, if you have this problem, you should go tell people, because then they'll pray for you. Right? Also, it's, you know, sometimes... it's good to, if you're having a Nida situation, since I answer Nida questions, I know about this a lot, that often people don't come to me till after a much longer time where they're suffering. And if they had told me earlier, I would have been able to help them with, you know, at least avoid getting into certain situations. And it's good to kind of be out there and not keep your problems inside, because sometimes also people can help you, right? Either helping you by rachamim, or by rachamim doesn't always mean just praying to God. It's also, they can maybe help you with your situation. Amar Rav Yosef, have a uvda b'mubdita ve'itze. There was a case in Pobedita where somebody had an issue and they pray, people prayed for them and they were healed. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now we're moving on to something else entirely. Now we're talking about Hitkin Rebbe Besadot. Rebbe made a takana in the fields. The fields are places where people don't learn Torah. There's not a lot of rabbis there. They don't really know halacha so well, or they're not so careful. And Rebbe said, because we're concerned that women are confused, and especially the women in those days, because they weren't so educated, they might be confused, right? This is also the fact that they put all of laws of need into the hands of the women, and it's the women determining all this stuff. So there was a concern that the women didn't necessarily know how the difference between Nida and Zavadeis, and therefore he made the following takana. Ra'ata yom achad teshev shisha v'hu. If she sees one day of blood, so she waits 6 days and that one day, because in the worst case, right, if it's Zava, remember, the difference between Zava and Nida is Nida, you're in Nida for 7 days. On the seventh day, assuming you stop bleeding, you do a hefsek tara, you prove you stop bleeding, and you can already go to the mikveh that night. If you're a Zava, then if you see one day, then you wait the next day and you go to the mikveh in the morning and you wait till nightfall. As long as you don't see blood, you're tahora at nighttime. If you see 2 days, same thing with what you did in the second day. In the first case, you now do in the third day. Once you bleed for 3 days straight, then you need 7 clean days. So if you only bleed 1 or 2 days, well, you're certainly not going to be a Zava Gedola and you don't need 7 clean days, but you need to wait your Nida days. So the first case is obvious. 1 day, you have to wait another 6 days to finish up Nida days. If you see 2 days, Teshev Shisha Vehen. Now, theoretically, what should you wait? Another 5 in case it's Nida. Because if it's Zava, you only need 1 more day. However, what's the problem? Rashi says the problem is maybe your first day was in your Zava days and your second day is in your Nida days, in which case you need another 6. According to Tosfot, the problem is that maybe you saw Yom Rishon Dam Yarok, maybe you saw non-problematic blood, and it's not just the issue of Nida and Zava, but it's also an issue of Tame blood and not Tame blood. Blood, it depends on what color it is. So if the first day was problematic and the first day wasn't really problematic blood, but you thought it was, so then you think to start counting your Nida days from the first day, but really you're only allowed to count from the second day when it was really problematic color. So because of that, they wait another 6 days. So it's Teshev Shisha Vehen. Shlosha, once she sees 3 days, Teshev Shiva Nikim. So according to the Tekanav Rebbe in the Sadot, women were either waiting 6 days of no bleeding or 7 days of no bleeding. And most of the time, if they were bleeding, assuming a minimum of 3 days, they were waiting 7 clean days, which explains the backdrop for this next line, which is a very famous line of Rabbi Zera. Amar Rabbi Zera, b'no Yisrael hechmiru al atzman, shafilu ro'ot hipatam kechardal yoshvot ala shivan kiim. So he says that b'no Yisrael added this chumrah. Okay, now it could be that the Takanav Rebbe in the fields was already, by the time of Rabbi Zera's time, a few generations later in the time of the Moraim, could be that Rebbe's Takana became much more popular. And it not only in the fields, but maybe all women were doing this, in which case women were basically waiting either 6 Nikim or 7 Nikim. So, and again, most women were already waiting 7 days anyway, because most women bleed more than 2 days. So here they say that the B'nai Yisrael Echmiru, that even if they see just a little drop of blood, okay, and this is a few things, right? Not only are they waiting 7 Nikim always, but even if it's just a drop and not necessarily a flow, they're going to wait 7 Nikim. Now, it's a little bit strange because if they see a tipa of dam, they don't theoretically need, you need 3 days of bleeding for it to be 7 Nikim, for it to be Zava. So how can we possibly say it's Zava? So some people explain that the concern is that maybe she just didn't see it and she's really been bleeding for 3 days and just didn't notice. Another answer is really just, again, the rabbis were just being machmir because, it was again, women who, let's say, were less educated and there was concern that they were going to confuse things. Well, if you have 6 Nikim, right, if let's say the Takanav Rebbe already was more rampant. Well, then, if they were either waiting 6 or they were waiting 7, what's the difference? Just make them always wait 7, even though they don't necessarily really need 7 Nekiyim. There's really no concern for Zava Gedola, but they just wanted to simplify matters. Why is Rabbi Zera so famous? Because this line gets quoted by Abaye in Masechet Brachot, who says, the halacha of Rabbi Zera is halacha psuka. It's something everyone agrees about, which is interesting in light of the continuation of the Gemara, so keep that in mind. But let's just assume right now that Abaye says halacha psuka, and that's why there's a very basic halacha, this Sheva Nekiyim, that we always wait Sheva Nekiyim, okay? And we're always safek zavot, basically. Even though normally women bleed during their nida days and not their zava days, we still call all women safek zavot. We always are concerned for zava, and we wait 7 clean days. Adbarei Rava l'Rav Shmuel v'darash. Okay, when Rava was walking with Rav Shmuel somewhere, he started teaching the following thing. Kashtashne Yamim, if she was having labor pains for 2 days, Ulashlishi Hipila, and it was during her Zava days, and on the 3rd day she miscarried, Teshev Shivanakim. Why? Kasavar Ein Kishoy L'Nefalim. Because he said that there's no such thing as blood that comes from birth when the baby ends up being a stillborn. And why is she a Zava Gdola? She only bled for 2 days. We don't know what happened on the 3rd day. Because it doesn't say she bled. They say the Yefshar l'ftichat hakever below dam. It's not possible the uterus open without there being blood, and therefore we assume that she must have bled also on the 3rd day. Amar le Rav Papa le Rav, my iria kashtash ne'amim. So now, why are we bringing this up now? Because he says, why does it say kashtash ne'amim? Afilu mashu ba'alma. Didn't we just say, da'aha amar Rabbi Zera b'na Yisrael lech miru al atzman, shafilu ro'o tipatam kerchatal yoshvot ala shivanakim? We just said, any kind of bleeding you wait shivanakim, why did it have to be where she bled for 2 days? And then the 3rd day miscarried. It should be any kind of bleeding. So Amalei, Rava answered him, and remember, Abai and Rava were contemporaries. We just said that Abai said everyone agrees to Rabbi Zera. Marle, Amin alecha isura, va'ad amra minhaga. I'm talking about isur, and you're talking about minhag. Hecha de achmor, achmor. Hecha de lo achmor, lo achmor. I'm talking about halacha. You're talking about minhag. Minhag of Rabbi Zera was a minhag of Bnei Israel. Those who are machmir are machmir. Those who aren't machmir aren't machmir. Which seems to indicate, by the way, against Abaye, that not everybody necessarily kept him. Amar Rava. Now we're going to have a slew of halachot that Rava says. Okay, there's 1, 2, right? You see the siman. Tevaua neter, tevachamin, lidbok, matim, agav namal, siman. Okay, so this is a siman for 6 things that Rava is going to teach us. Okay, here goes. Amar Rava, tevaua li nasev nitpaisa, tzricha sheteshev shiva nekiyim. When he asks her to marry him and she agrees, she has to wait Shiva Nekiyim, and we generally do that. That's what we call because of Dam Chimud. We're worried she's going to get excited, and because of that, we'll bleed. And because of that, we say she waits Shiva Nekiyim the 7 days leading up to a wedding. Okay, this is what we do nowadays leading up to the wedding. Ravina Yasek Leilabarei Be'Rav Chanina. So Ravina married off his daughter, or set up his daughter with Rav Chanina's son. Set up his son with Rav Chanina's daughter. Amar le, so Rav Chanina said to him, Savar le mar le michtav ketuba l'arba yom. Do you want to write the ketuba within the next 4 days? Amar le in, he says yes. Kimata l'arba, when the 4th day came and it was written, natar ad arba achrina, he waited till the end of another 4 days, meaning like in 3 days later. Okay, and which means iakev shiva yome, it was delayed 7 days, and he didn't, even though the ketubah was written on the 4th day, they didn't get married till after 7 days passed. Batarahu yoma, from the day that they decided, right on the 8th day. Amarle maihai, he said, why are you doing this? Why are you pushing off the wedding? Rav Chanina said to Ravina, why are you pushing off the wedding? Amar le, lo sava lamar lahada rava, don't you hold by what Rava says? Amar rava, tavu alina sevenit paisa, tzricha leshev shiva nekiyim. So he says, right, don't you know that that's, right, don't you hold like Rava, that you have to wait shiva nekiyim, so we can't get married after 4 days, right, that we can't marry off our children. Amar le, so Rav Chanina says, emer dama rava bigdola, de kachazidama. That's only true for gdola, who already has her period. Aval biktana, de lo chazidama mi amar, but my daughter, she's a ktana, she hasn't gotten her period yet. So why are you making her wait shiva nekiyim? So Amar le, Ravina says, beferush amar rava. Rava said explicitly, lo shna gdola, velo shna ktana. Doesn't matter whether she's a gdola or a ktana, she still has to wait shiva nekiyim. Why? We're worried she got her period because she was all excited about the wedding. The same would be true for a ktana, not only in gdola, it could be, it would also make her bleed. 2nd law of Rava. Amar Rava. Isha lo tachuf, when it comes to shampooing before going to the mikveh to make sure you don't have anything, right, any dirt in your hair that will create what we call a chatzitza, a separation between her hair and the water. Lo tachof lo b'neter v'lo b'chol. You can't use the following substance. So these substances, not with natron, or again, natron, sodium something, and that was the substances we saw earlier, and not with sand. B'neter mishum d'miktaf, because the neter makes the hair, it pulls it out, and then there might be hairs remaining on her body, which will cause a chatzitza. And u'b'chol mishum d'misrach, it causes the hairs to stick to each other. Amar Meimar Mishmei Derava, third halacha. Isha lo tachuf ela bechamin. She needs to use hot water, v'afilu bechamei chama, and even water that's heated by the sun is fine. Aval lo betzonein. She can't use cold water. Tzonein mai taim alo, mishum dekarire, mashru mazia. Because the water is cold, it hardens the hairs and will cause the dirt to remain in the hair. Also, I was thinking that maybe she also won't wash it so well, because you ever take a freezing cold shower, right? You want to do it very quickly. Fourth one. Ba'amar Rava, lo'olam yilamed adam b'toch b'to, sh'tei sham medichat beit k'matea b'mayim. Places where she has creases in her body, she has to wash them also before she goes to the mikveh, even though the water's not going to actually get there. Meitive. So now the question from a Mishnah Mikvaot. Beit k'matim u'beit astarim einan tzrichim lebiat mayim. You don't need the water to get to them. So why would you have to clean it if the water doesn't need to get to them? So the answer, even though you don't need the water to get there, you need it potentially to be able to get there. Kid Rabbi Zera, as Rabbi Zera says, Da'ama Rabbi Zera, Kol ha-ra'oi le-bila, ein bila ma'akevet bo. She'en o-ra'oi le-bila, ein bila ma'akevet bo. This comes from Mincha B'lula B'Shemen. The Korba Mincha that they were bringing the Beit HaMikdash was mixed with water, with oil, and it's called mixed with oil. What do they learn from it? It doesn't say yivlo b'shemen, has to be mixed. It says it's balul b'shemen, which means it could be potentially mixed. What they say is, the example they give is if you 60 esronim, that's a certain measurement, a tenth of an epha, can fit in a bowl. So if you promise a mincha that's more than that, you have to do it in two separate bowls, because you can't put more than what can potentially be mixed into the bowl, even if you don't actually mix it. So it has to be potentially able to be mixed. Likewise, it has to be potentially able for the water to get there, even if the water doesn't actually get there. So that's why you have to clean it out, even though the water won't necessarily get into there. This, by the way, is a very relevant halacha. If a woman can't tovel without putting earplugs in her ear, or she can't get her ears wet, so what does she do? She puts cotton balls. Because cotton balls, if you dunk for a second, the water's not going to go in, but if you were to stay down there for longer, the water would penetrate the cotton ball. So you can have something that, if it could theoretically penetrate, even if it won't penetrate in the 1 second that you're under the water, still you can do that. Amar Rav in Bar Rav Adam, Rabbi Yitzchak, Maaseh b'shivchato shel Rebbe she'tavla v'alta v'nimtza la etzem chotzeis ben shineh. After she went to the mikvah, the maidservant of Rebbe, she found a bone in between her teeth. V'hitzricha Rebbe tefila acheret. He made her go back because it was a chatzitza, even though the water wasn't actually getting into her mouth. Fifth halacha. V'amar Rava, tavla v'alta v'nimtza la davar chotzeis. She went to the mikvah and she got out, and then she found something that was chotzeis. Im samuch lechav, right? She found dirt in her hair, let's say. If she had already showered, some people say, by the way, chafifa usually means washing your hair, but it could possibly mean here just washing your body also, right? When they talk about the need for chafifa before going to the mikveh, which comes up in other places, we're going to see it, it's a debate about whether they only mean your hair or they also mean your body. So if it was near the time that she washed herself and then tovel, then we assume that the chatzitza came after. But if there was a big break in between the time when she did the washing and she dunked, well then, sricha lachof litbo. Some people say, imbo to yom shechafifa tavla, enat sricha lachof litbo. If it was the same day, then she doesn't need to do it. But if it was a different day, then she needs to, which we're going to see means even if she did it during the daytime and then it became nighttime, then she would assume that the chafifa happened in between. But if she did everything at night, then it wouldn't be a problem. So my binayu, what's the difference between them? Ika binayu lemisma chafifa letfila. Okay, the one difference between them is if the chafifa was right next to the tefillah, Right? Do you need to do that or not? According to the first version, you need to. That according to the second version, as long as it's within the same day, it's fine. And the second option, the second difference is lemechaf biyamama ulemitzvah b'leilya. If you wash during the day and then toveled at night, according to the first one, that would be okay if they were right near each other. But if according to the second lashon, it would be a problem. Okay, we'll pick up with the last Torah of Rava tomorrow.